Your relationship can't survive on the leftovers of your time, your energy, or your attention.
That's why we created Grounded in Love, a couples retreat in Sedona, Arizona on beautiful Oak Creek Canyon. It's October 22nd to 25th, which is a Thursday to a Sunday.
This isn't just a getaway. This is for intentional days to slow down, reconnect, build emotional safety, and create the kind of relationship you've been working so hard to build.
We'll guide you through powerful workshops, private coaching sessions, plenty of powerful experiential moments to connect the two of you, and plenty of time for just the two of you to enjoy.
We intentionally limited this retreat to 8 couples so that you could have a deeply personalized experience. We have filled half of the retreat, so we have 4 spaces remaining.
So if you've been looking for the right time to invest in your relationship, this is it. Click the link in the show notes or email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com, and we'll set up a 30-minute discovery call to make sure it's a great fit for you.
We'd love to spend the long weekend with you. Your relationship can't survive on the leftovers of your time, your energy, or your attention.
That's why we created Grounded in Love, a couples retreat in Sedona, Arizona on beautiful Oak Creek Canyon. It's October 22nd to 25th, which is a Thursday to a Sunday.
This isn't just a getaway. This is for intentional days to slow down, reconnect, build emotional safety, and create the kind of relationship you've been working so hard to build.
We'll guide you through powerful workshops, private coaching sessions, plenty of powerful experiential moments to connect the two of you, and plenty of time for just the two of you to enjoy.
We intentionally limited this retreat to 8 couples so that you could have a deeply personalized experience. We have filled half of the retreat, so we have 4 spaces remaining.
So if you've been looking for the right time to invest in your relationship, this is it. Click the link in the show notes or email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com, and we'll set up a 30-minute discovery call to make sure it's a great fit for you.
We'd love to spend the long weekend with you. Last week, we talked about the 7 signs why your relationship might not feel emotionally safe.
Today, we're talking about how to actually rebuild it.
Because emotional safety isn't created by ignoring difficult conversations and/or avoiding conflict.
It's created by how couples move through conflict together.
And one of the biggest things we've learned?
Most couples think they're arguing with each other.
When actually their nervous systems are arguing with each other.
And today we're going to show you practical ways to rebuild trust, honesty, and deepen your connection.
So difficult conversations can stop feeling dangerous and wait for it. Get ready for this. They can actually bring you closer together and make you feel more connected.
So let's renovate.
Are you ready to renovate your relationship? Welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin. And we are today launching into part 2 of our emotional safety series. And so in that first part of the series, we really laid out, like, what are the 7 signs that emotional safety isn't existing in your relationship?
1, you don't tell each other the whole truth. 2, difficult conversations get delayed. 3, defensiveness shows up quickly and is basically automatic. That's your autopilot when tension arises. 4, you feel lonely in the relationship. 5, vulnerability feels risky. 6, you filter yourself. And 7, conflict feels dangerous where there's a constant threat to your relationship if conflict happens.
Yes. And why this is so important is that we believe that emotional safety is really at the heart of a healthy, loving, connected, intimate relationship, that Tara and I can deal with really difficult things in ways that actually at the end of the conversation, we feel closer, not farther apart. And so today, we really want to give you like some actionable steps, right? Like some things like these are the things that you can do to build emotional safety in your relationship. So we want to jump right in because we know everybody loves that ability to like have something to take out of the podcast and move forward with their partner.
Yeah. And just to share, if you listen to part 1, you'll know that like EJ and I had like a little thing before that podcast was recorded because we had like a 45-minute conversation and recorded that podcast, but video wasn't going. And so I was like, oh my God, that was so good. And I was so sad and I was so disappointed. And I was so angry at EJ for like accidentally missing to hit record. And so like recording that one for the second time, like my brain does not work like it used to. So I have to just be on. And when like we lost all of it, that 40-minute conversation, I was super sad. But then there was also like, maybe this happened for a reason because it took me like 20 minutes to like feel better. Like we all have our own different processes when conflict happens or disappointment happens. But EJ was right. He fought with his defensiveness, but he was able to like be emotionally safe for me. So now we're here in the studio an hour later recording our part two. So it just goes to show that like, you know, it could have gone a totally different way. I could have stomped out of the podcast studio. Like, I can't believe this. Like, I can't believe this happened. But we didn't because I'm flexible. EJ's flexible. We're supporting each other. It was hard though. I got really anxious and angry.
Well, and I think it feeds into the first thing that you need to be aware of in rebuilding emotional safety. And this is what has happened to us in the past and what we really tried to work against in that difficult moment is that our nervous systems are arguing with one another, right? And what we want is we want to be aware of our nervous system, know we're going into a really instinctive place, and find a way to settle our nervous system. Because like for me, defensiveness, when my nervous system is tripped, when I sense anger towards me, my automatic reaction is going to be defensiveness. It's not a conscious choice because it's my nervous system, right? And so the very first tip is getting an awareness for you and your partner of when has the topic, the content of what you guys were arguing with gone out the window, and it's just your nervous systems reacting to one another.
And for me, so EJ, I love that you use that, like what you do and like your defensiveness. For me, I could feel like pressure building in my head and I was angry. So I said, EJ, I'm just gonna like, I've gotta go outside for a minute. And I sat outside for like 7 minutes. I was like, I'm okay. Like, we're okay. My brain will still work, Tara. Like, you've got this. Like, I had to like get my nervous system back on track to come back into the studio. So like, I had to take my own break. I feel it somatically. I think you feel it cognitively. But again, just taking that 2 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever it might be. And even like when we were recording the part one, I kept saying like, I'm okay. I'm safe. Because I could still residually feel like, oh, my brain, this isn't as good as the one we just recorded. I was comparing it. And I'm like, my brain's not on. Then I'd be like, it's okay. It's okay. Like I just tried to like really center myself and ground myself. So if you notice in part one, I was not me. I was working on it.
So using that example and then helping you guys to continue to think about this number one, don't let your nervous systems argue with one another. We took that distance. Then we came back and both of us, it was still difficult and it was like a bit of a grind. But I think both of us, because we took that space apart for ourselves, maybe not completely suppressed our nervous system or completely soothed it. But then when we came back, we were able to manage our nervous system. Like I could feel myself, you know, I could feel my heart rate picking up. I could feel myself tightening. And I was like consistently being like, okay, like I don't have to let my nervous system run this argument.
Yeah, right?
So number one, don't let your nervous system run the conflict.
Number two, stop trying to win.
Oh, that's a hard one. That was in that one, it was hard. And in anyone, I see it with couples where like they're talking about really intimate things. You know, they're talking about maybe their intimacy. And instead of it being on something that they're working on together and solving together, one of them is trying to win. I call it, it's the war of perspectives. Mm-hmm. My perspective is the right one. You need to tell me that you accept that I am right.
Yeah. And I like for me, like even again, I'm just going to use that moment we had. I was like, I can't believe he didn't. I wanted to know, like, why didn't you press record? How could you have forgotten to press record? How could you not have seen it? Like, I wanted to make sure that like it was your fault, not mine. Then when I went out to go take my break, I was like, Tara, you have to be flexible. Like right now your nervous system is rigid and you want to prove who was wrong and who was right. So you can just like make this, win this argument. I'm like, that is not helpful. So like for me, when I'm thinking about winning or I'm in that place, because we're just human, we're going to mess it up. We want to like have our point one. I think of like flexibility versus rigidity. And it was really helpful.
Yeah. And can I give you, I love this phrase around stop trying to win, is shift from proving your point to understanding your partner.
Yeah, right? I was like, EJ didn't do this shit on purpose, dude. Yeah. But like what
can I offer you like one thing that if you might have said it, it would have really helped.
Please.
Like if you would have like said, EJ, I can tell you probably feel really bad about this.
Yes, I just wasn't in that space yet, but I can say that now. EJ, I'm sure you felt really bad about that.
Yes, I did. I felt horrible. I know I fucked up and I felt bad.
I know. I just didn't have that space yet because I was so scared that my brain wouldn't work again.
Yeah. Well, and then on my side of that was trying to prove my point that it has never happened before. And like I had to back off.
How many times has this happened?
I had to back off away from that. And instead of proving my point, I had to like try to help you know that I was understanding you. So the thing is stop trying to win and try starting to understand.
Yes. The third one, regulate before you communicate. It definitely piggybacks on the first one. Your nervous systems are arguing. But for the regulate before you communicate, you really want to slow down and name what's happening internally, right? And so again, we'll go back to like the example that we're using, right? I got really frustrated, scared, disappointed that like we just lost 40 minutes of what we were recording because I was like funny. I was adorable. I had my caffeine high. I was like freaking on it because I got good sleep last night. Like rare moments, people. Women, if you're struggling with freaking menopause, perimenopause, when you are on it and you are just clicking, it is rare. So I was like so proud. And then when we lost it, I literally felt devastated. So when I went out to take my little break, because I didn't want to be reacting to your nervous system, number one, your nervous systems are arguing. I was like, oh, I'm really scared that I won't be able to produce something more awesome, right? And so I was able to identify it so then I could regulate.
Yeah.
And then we could share what happened.
And this goes right back to our first episode where one of the seven signs was vulnerability feels risky, right? It feels like almost dangerous to open up, right? And if I become regulated, if I name what's happening for myself, I'm feeling defensive. Once I regulate myself, I can drop down into a more vulnerable place, or I could have, and I did kind of miss this, I'll be honest, of like, I feel so bad. I think, and I may have said it, but I didn't say it like, from the heart of like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You know, and because it didn't feel safe in that moment to do it, not because it wasn't safe. And that's what's interesting in couples is not because it was actually unsafe, but my nervous system, because I wasn't regulated, was telling me, don't be vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's not safe to do it.
See, and now you know, right? Now you know, because you're able to slow down, name what's happening internally.
If you feel like you and your partner keep having the same conversation over and over, if you feel like you keep trying to connect, but you just miss each other, then this is for you.
So many couples are not lacking love. They are, however, lacking a roadmap. They feel overwhelmed, frustrated, and they're trying to figure it out on their own. Trust me, we know.
And Tara and I are now coaching couples globally. And honestly, it's become one of our favorite things to do. We're moving couples from me versus you to we. We're helping couples build that healthy, loving connection that they've always wanted.
This isn't about learning one more communication tool. It's about understanding yourself more deeply, understanding your partner more deeply to build that compassion, developing emotional safety, and building the relationship that you want to have in your life.
And because Tara and I coach every couple personally, we only have a limited amount of spaces available at any given time. So if you think the coaching might be the right thing for you, we would love to meet you.
You can schedule a complimentary 30-minute discovery call where we hear your story, we tell you about how we do our work, make sure that we're a really good fit.
You can click the link in the show notes, or you can email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com.
So please reach out. We would love to walk alongside you.
Okay. And then, so this next one, number four, again, relates back to the first episode where you may delay talking about things. You may
filter.
You may filter. You may only share parts of the truth or open up about parts of yourself. And number four says, tell the truth faster.
Not perfectly, just sooner.
Not perfectly.
Like, for example, hey, I got to let you know what happened. At first, I wanted to blame you and get really pissed at you because you freaking didn't record that.
I feel like you're still working through this right
no,
now.
No. No, because I'm telling the truth. Right? And then I just wanted to blame you. And then it reminded me of all these things that I can't trust you with. And all these things started to spiral. Like, I can't count on EJ. Like, can't count on him. But then I went out, got into my window of tolerance, really reframed, you turned it to flexibility. I know you would never do this on purpose. Like, I'll be okay. Everything is safe. You know, like, just sharing that whole truth. Like, not only did you not press record, I started thinking about all the other things that I can't, like, rely on you for, like past stuff, which I know just comes up in moments of suffering. And it's not true, but so many of us don't have these skills that other things get piled upon it. And then it's like, it wasn't just about not hitting record. It was 1,000 other things that you freaking got wrong in our relationship. And that's where people just go offline. 1,000?
Wow,
no, but I'm just saying for other, yeah. So like, this is so huge though, to like tell the truth faster.
Yes. And I think what you also are, because, you know, you're hearing this in a two-part series, but we recorded this in one day after we had this conflict. What you're hearing in real time is our central nervous systems over the last hour have begun to come back into our window of tolerance. And we're moving closer and closer to following our own advice and having the awareness to tell the truth, right? Is when our central nervous system is all jacked up, I don't even know what my truth is.
Yeah.
So if you do these things like stop trying to win, regulate before you communicate, then it allows you, okay, then I can actually look inside, understand what's happening, and I can actually tell you the truth. And it took us like an hour or so, but that's pretty darn good compared to where we were 15 years ago.
Keeps getting better, guys.
Absolutely. So tell the truth faster. Number five.
This is huge.
Number five is like sort of a more preventative approach, right? It's saying like, let's make emotional check-ins a habit. And this is why like we really want you to also become a part of our community on Patreon. If you're interested in working privately and coaching with us, like these are things that are in our model that we work with people, because if you consistently emotionally check in with one another, you build that transparency even in moments that you're not activated yet. You build emotional safety because you learn how to communicate about stuff that's below the surface.
Well, and if you're sensing distance, you talk about it. Like just the other day, like normally you're like your really happy-go-lucky self in the morning, and I could feel something was weighing on you, right? If we didn't have emotional safety, I'd be like, oh God, I'm going to avoid that like the plague, right? But I was like, hey, EJ, and I checked in, and you're like, yeah, I've got, you know, this financial stress, right? You were able to like share and be vulnerable. So like it's so important that like the minute, the second, the hour you start to perceive this like disconnect, checking in about it and don't letting it go too long. Because again, research shows couples usually wait 9 years, I believe, 9 years of feeling separate and disconnected before seeking out coaching or therapy. Yeah. Do not wait.
Well, and because we have the habit of doing an emotional check-in with each other in the morning, we didn't have to wait to a crisis point to have the conversation, because we use our emotional check-in that some days is just like 2 minutes and we carry on with the day because nothing's going on. where we had a place to check in about our emotions, we have safety within that space as well. Yeah. And so something that might have been a big hiccup in our life 4 or 5 years ago was something that we then got together in very quickly because we had a place to do it.
Yeah. Okay, number six is like maybe one of the most important priority things you want to remember to build emotional safety, and that is to validate first. And we help each other with that. Like sometimes we don't validate and I'll be like, EJ, you have to validate me first and then you can move into what you wanted to say. Like, and you tell me that too. Like we have to validate first. What does that mean? Wow, I hear that you're feeling really anxious or angry or blaming right now, right? You're just validating the other person's experience before moving into what your experience was.
Yes.
Safety first, solutions second.
And that whole validation is a whole beast on its own, mm-hmm. which seems like a simple thing, but couples struggle deeply with it. And we have an episode like 3 or 4 episodes ago, which is all about validation does not mean agreement. That I can validate something that Tara is seeing, feeling, thinking, I don't necessarily have to 100% agree with it, but if I validate it, it has a lot of value in building emotional safety.
Yeah.
All right, number 7, which 7 is like sort of the culmination of all of these things put together, is that your goal in this is to create a relationship where hard things can be said.
The goal is not to avoid conflict. We actually know conflict avoidant couples are actually in the most disconnected place. They feel so alone. So it's not to avoid conflict. The goal is staying connected through it, repairing it, and it bringing you, conflict should bring you closer together. Like I know people probably have heard, like when EJ and I have, because EJ used to be very conflict avoidant. So when we'd have conflict, I'd be like, yes. That feels so good. I feel so much more connected to you. Thank you. And he would be like, what? What just happened? But now that we've learned a lot of the skills, we use a lot of the skills, we're not perfect at it. But it's like, I know that conflict actually brings us closer together, makes me learn more about myself, more about each other. And it also shows, you know, we have kids at home, like that conflict is okay. There's a lot of parents who are like, avoid conflict in front of the children. Well, guess what? Then they don't know how to build resilience around that either.
Well, and crazily enough is that when you build this emotional safety, when it gets stronger and stronger, like you have a conflict, like I honestly am with Tara now in this moment of like, it was not a great environment between us an hour ago. But right now I am actually feeling like closer because like we worked through it. Like I don't feel like it's not going to pollute the rest of our day. And that feels freaking amazing.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but like this is so important. It doesn't just, it's not a light switch. We're like, all right, we just built emotional safety. Like EJ and I have been working on this for like 10 plus years. And like, it's a process, right? It's a process. We were able to come back within an hour, but just like every time you're able to do it a little bit differently, it builds confidence that you can do it. So just have very realistic expectations around emotional safety. Our nervous systems will hijack the shit out of us, right? But we are going to become ESAS, emotionally safe ass shit. ESAS, people. ESAS.
And this is the byproduct of all of this is that you begin to realize that in your relationship, you don't have to face conflict alone.
Yes.
That it's not this fracture.
You don't have to be afraid of it.
Yeah, that it's not this fracturing moment that actually, okay, we have a conflict and we're going to get together in it. We're going to understand each other more deeply. We're going to support each other through each of our sort of like instinctive reactions in these moments. We're going to soothe each other's nervous systems. Then we're going to deal with whatever the problem was. And then we're like, we did this together. Like, like I don't have to just like, you know, white knuckle my way through it by myself.
And we have so many tools that can help you guys be like objective to this. Like if you just go to our website, there's like emotional safety assessment. You can take that. And then you can even like, hey, let's look at the intensity, frequency, duration of our arguments right now. And then let's start doing all these tools. And like in another 3 months, let's go back and do the intensity, frequency, duration. High likelihood you will see intensity go down, frequency of conflict go down, duration of being separate in it go down because you're starting to build the emotional safety tools. And yeah. We have so many podcasts on this, you guys.
And if you want like more like everyday help with this, I think our Patreon community, and it's free. You can go and join it. And almost every day of the like week, you know, Monday through Friday, there's a tip of the day.
AJ is doing his tip of the day.
Yeah, we do it. We do a little video for it. There's a description. There's almost always some action point, like something you can take out of it and work on with your partner. You can share it with your partner. That's an amazing way to like stay plugged into this relationship wellness game. Again, Tara and I coach couples, the two of us with couples. That's awesome. If you're interested in that, just head on down to our show notes and there's a link to that. I have a men's group that I'm running. Please reach out about that. It's just a bunch of guys like talking about these exact things. Like how do I be my best self in my relationship?
Men who do the work.
Yeah. And so we have like all of these offerings. We have a Sedona retreat for couples where we have 4 spaces left. That's
in October.
Coming up in October. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be an intimacy creating experience. It's going to be well curated. Like that. That's something we're super excited about.
We have a ton of resources. You can always reach out. We are the ones emailing you back. We don't have any AI assistance, though sometimes I wish we did. It's like our hearts to yours, and we are here to support you. Thank you for being a part of our Relationship Renovation community. We love it. Relationship Renovators, you go. As always, thanks for listening. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Take care of your nervous systems. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Most men aren't bad partners. They're just unequipped. You care about your relationship, but you keep having the same arguments. You shut down or you react, and then you regret it. That's not a character issue. That's a skill issue. And nobody ever taught you how to do this well. That's why I created Men Who Do the Work, an 8-week intensive to get better in your relationship. Not just talk about it, but actually practice it. You'll learn how to communicate without getting defensive and to stay grounded when things get tough and help stop the patterns that are breaking things down. Small group, 8 men, weekly sessions, real accountability. And you'll work directly with me. So if you know it's time to do things differently, reach out. coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. Let's get to work. Most men aren't bad partners. They're just unequipped. You care about your relationship, but you keep having the same arguments. You shut down or you react, and then you regret it. That's not a character issue. That's a skill issue. And nobody ever taught you how to do this well. That's why I created Men Who Do the Work, an 8-week intensive to get better in your relationship. Not just talk about it, but actually practice it. You'll learn how to communicate without getting defensive and to stay grounded when things get tough and help stop the patterns that are breaking things down. Small group, 8 men, weekly sessions, real accountability. And you'll work directly with me. So if you know it's time to do things differently, reach out. coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. Let's get to work.
You just singing on the train, me and you listening to the rain, me and you, we are the same.